Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 11, Text 36. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this way, Krishna and Balaram, acting like small boys and talking in half-broken language, gave transcendental pleasure to all the inhabitants of Raja. In due course of time, they became old enough to take care of the cows. Purport. As soon as Krishna and Balaram were a little grown up, they were meant for taking care of cows. Although born of a very well-to-do family, they still had to take care of cows. This was a system of education. Those who were not born in Brahman families were not meant for academic education. The Brahmanas were trained in a literary academic education, the Kshatriyas were trained to take care of the state, and the Vaishyas learned how to cultivate the land and take care of cows and calves. There was no need to waste time going to school to be falsely educated and later increase the numbers of unemployed. Krishna and Balaram taught us by their personal behavior. Krishna took care of the cows and played his flute, and Balaram took care of agricultural activities with a plow in his hand. Om Gyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jayashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Sri Radha Gokulanand ki jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai. Hare Krishna. So very, very happy to be once again in this holy place of Bhaktivedanta Manor and with all of you wonderful devotees getting a chance to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, and that too very, very interesting part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the childhood pastimes of the Lord. Very interesting. So as we understand that Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amalam Puranam, or the Paramhansa Samhita, it is also called. Paramhansa Samhita means it's a scripture, it's a something that even the Paramhansas relish, they look forward to. The Paramhansas are detached souls, they are not attached to anything. But they look forward to relishing the Srimad Bhagavatam. And of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to prepare the right, the nine cantos of Bhagavatam that we have all gone through by the wonderful arrangement of Srila Prabhupada. So systematically he gave the first five principles of Rupa Goswami right in the morning program. Right? Rupa Goswami says, chanting Hare Krishna, associated with devotees, worshipping Tulsi Maharaj, and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything is covered, just we've attended the morning program. So one of the most important parts of the morning program is the Bhagavatam class which Prabhupada gave us. And because of this wonderful system, we have gone through the whole nine cantos of Bhagavatam, preparing our consciousness to receive the tenth canto. The whole idea of Bhagavatam is to create our attraction, to arouse our dormant love for Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Syadya Kabunoy Shravanadi Suddhya Chitta Karore Udoy. That is said that the pure love of God is dormant within our hearts. Just like as we see right now, there's clouds, the sun is there but it's covered. Yesterday the sun was fully shining and we could see the sun. But now it is covered by the clouds, and the clouds of ignorance are covering the hearts. And by, as explained by this beautiful verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, they said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema is there in everyone's heart, not just the human beings, but every living entity has that spark of love for Krishna. It's there. Shravan Adi Suddhi Chitte, but by purely hearing, Shravan, by the process of Shravan, Shravan Adi Suddhi Chitte, by pure heart, that the love of God is reawakened. It is not that it is created, it is already there. It is just reawakened. It is just in dormant stupta avastha. It is a dormant state, but it is reawakened. And the whole purpose of the Bhagavatam is to get attracted to Krishna. Janma karma cheme divyam evam yovi tattvata tattva deha punarjanma naiti mam iti so Arjuna. Krishna says so beautifully, the one who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities. And can you imagine, we are right in this, the canto which talks about Krishna's birth and activities. So it is very interesting. We are just so very fortunate to be reading the childhood pastime of Krishna. And here, you know, we have gone through various situations where Krishna was born, and then, you know, Krishna killed the Putana demon. And in the last, what had happened is Krishna, we had the beautiful Damodar pastime, where Krishna broke the Yamuna Arjuna trees, and that was like a danger signal for the Brijbasis. Well, this is too much. Whereas demons are coming every day, and this whole tree fell down, and just Krishna is, I mean, the God has been so kind to our children that Krishna was not under these trees, otherwise he would be dead. That was the Vatsala Bhav of the Brijbasis and of Nanda and Yashoda. So they were thinking that this is not a safe place. Now can you imagine this, what sort of yoga maya must this be? That they are finding the place not so safe for Krishna. Where Krishna, with the fact is that he is fear personified, is also afraid of Krishna. Fear personified, Krishna is seen as something very, very scary, even for fear personified. And the parents of Krishna are feeling that this place is not safe for Krishna. That is natural love of the parents. It's something special about yoga maya. So they said that they had a meeting. All the elders of Vrindavan, they had a meeting. They were all staying at Nandagaon, as we know. And they said, this place is not becoming safe. Constant demons, trees falling, you know, so many things are happening. It is not safe. So they decided to lock, stock, barrel, just pack up everything and just move. And they moved. And Krishna and Balram at this point in time was very, very small children, as this word says, with broken language. That means they could not even speak very properly. So this is very interesting that Krishna does such amazing pastimes. And what is the purpose of these pastimes? The main purpose of this pastime is to attract our hearts to his lotus feet. That's the main purpose. Otherwise, why should Krishna do pastimes in Bhoma Vrindavan? Krishna has unlimited pastimes in the spiritual world going on. In Bhoma Vrindavan, because when Krishna does his pastimes and it has been heard by his devotees, that steel-framed heart, as explained in the Bhagavatam, our heart is steel-framed, it has to melt. Because unless and until our heart melts, there's no question of Krishna getting established in our heart. It has to melt, it has to become softened. Only then the Bhakti Lata Beej, which Guru has planted, that beej in our heart, if it is a hard, you know, dry ground, that seed doesn't grow. It has to be very fertile, soft land in which the seed of bhakti grows. And how does the land become fertile? By watering it, by making it soft. And what is the water? The water is Shravanam. By the Shravanindriya, by the sense of hearing, we are watering the heart, and the heart is becoming soft, so that it the Bhakti Lata Beej grows in our heart. And Krishna does amazing pastimes, and our hard heart is also attracted. So one thing is there, that even the most tough hard-hearted person usually naturally gets attracted to small children when they do some innocent things. And you have to be really tough not to be attracted to small children doing activities. But even a tough, sometimes a tough renounced person also, when small children do something, they speak in broken language, and they go to a sadhu and say, "Sadhu hade kitna." Oh, so sweet. I mean, you know, even a renounced sadhu will say, "Oh, this is so sweet." So Krishna, you know, children by nature are sweet, small children. When Krishna becomes a small child, Krishna is by nature very sweet. He's ocean of sweetness. Madhuradi pate. He's the ocean of sweetness. We have Madhurastakam, right? Everything about Krishna is sweet. Venu Madhura, Vacho Madhura. And the whole song is there, written by Vallabhacharya, Madhurastakam, where it describes that every part of Krishna is sweet. So when that originally sweet Lord takes the form of a tiny child, his sweetness is raised to many times more. Because a child is anyway sweet. And even a hard heart becomes... So Krishna does very innocent pastimes, which is called the Bala Leela, or the childhood pastime of the Lord. Here you are, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he appeared in front of Devaki, Devaki said, "Oh, you are looking nice, four-handed form of Krishna, but please now take the form of a tiny baby, because I'm happy to see you like this, but I want to see you as my child because I'm your mother." And then he took the form of a baby, and that was so attracted. Naturally, after that, the natural love of Devaki flew, and the natural milk came out of her breast. So that is very sweet. So when Krishna was doing these pastimes, we have to simultaneously know that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because in the last 9 cantos we have heard his glory. The same Krishna, he became Vamanadev. The same Krishna became Matsya, huge. The same Krishna became Kurma. What is the size of Kurma? 800 miles long tortoise. I mean, you know, to have such a huge tortoise and to go below and to have the whole Mandara mountain on your back. And the churning of the Mandara mountain was just like a nice, you know, feeling, so that it was scratching his back. Can you imagine? I mean, that's the hugeness of Krishna. That the Mandara mountain was a nice feeling, because sometimes at some point you can't go and scratch, right? Sometimes you try here. You can't go to a point. So Krishna also gets this feeling that he needs to be scratched at the back. Some place it doesn't go. So that is explained in the Bhagavatam, that Mandara mountain was moving on his back because it was like a support. And it was moving. And for the tortoise, it was like, so nice. So such a nice feeling. Now that's the hugeness of Krishna. So we have read Narsingadev, just recently we discussed about Narsingh, the huge form of Narsingadev appeared and actually destroyed the demon in no time. Right? The same Krishna, Dash Avatar, which we draw, comes in the form of Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Iti Chamsa Kala Pungsa Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. That there are so many amsas and vibhin amsas, portions and the portion of the portions of the Lord, but Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. But you are the original Lord, Krishna. So we have been prepared for the 9 cantos to understand the glory of Krishna. And then when you read the 10th canto, when you see Krishna, you know, he came and he was drinking the milk and he was catching the tail of the cow. And because he pulled the tail of the cow started running, and Krishna was pulling and his cat caught hold of the tail, and Krishna is running with the tail on this. And that's why, if you know, those who have visited India, there is a famous shop called Ghasita Ram. If you have heard, Ghasita Ram. Now, where does this name come from? Ghasit means Krishna getting pulled. And Ghasita Ram means who is very happy to get pulled with the tail of a cow. And here is a scene. Can you imagine? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is just getting pulled by and the cow is running, and Krishna is having a nice ride. So when you read that, you don't get bewildered. Because the fact is, you could get bewildered because none of us are as great as Lord Brahma. And Brahma got bewildered when he saw Krishna's childhood pastimes. When Brahma from the top, he said,
how can this be Krishna? Because what he saw is that there was Krishna's friends playing, and Krishna said, "Hey, Madhumangal, I want that buttermilk from yours. Your buttermilk is very nice. Please wait, I won't drink it." Madhumangal doesn't want to share anything. So he was just drinking as fast as he could, so that he doesn't want to share. So Krishna was running, and he was just gulping. And then the final thing is gulp, and Krishna reached, and he was still in his cheeks. So Krishna just burst his cheeks, and out came the buttermilk. And what did Krishna do? He opened his mouth. When Brahma saw this, I said, "This cannot be God. I mean, how can he do this? How can he eat something directly from somebody's mouth?" And we all know the Archana Vidhi of deity worship. Even there has to be complete cleanliness is part of deity worship. I mean, Krishna, when you offer bhoga to the Lord, it has to be absolutely clean. When we cook, we have to put our caps, so that there's no even a small hair not falling. No, not a portion of saliva should fall. And how precise we are. And that's Archana Vidhi. The same Krishna and Lord Brahma, who is our param, who is our original acharya of our sampradaya, and the original creator, when he saw, I said, "This can't be Krishna. How can this be Krishna? Is drinking, from somebody's mouth?" He got bewildered. And that's why we have the Brahma Vimohan Leela, because he got bewildered. That's why. While we are reading the 10th canto, while we are reading the childhood pastimes, we need to constantly have in the background the first 9 cantos. Otherwise, just stand alone, a particular verse might look very strange and bewildering. What is Krishna doing? So that's the background. Now, when Krishna does his childhood pastimes, they appear to be so innocent. And then when you see somebody so great doing something so ordinary, that ordinary things does not remain ordinary, it becomes very great. Because there's a whole background of greatness. So whatever Krishna does is so wonderful. So Krishna is here, he's leaving the place of Nandagaon. He's on the chariot, he's on the bullock cart, as explained here. And along with the Brijabasis, we, the hearers of Bhagavatam, are on this journey. Because what is Bhagavatam? We are on the journey with the Bhagavatam. And Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami are taking us on this journey. And what is Parikshit Maharaj saying? That now all the Brijabasis have loaded their chariots, and the elderly people, the women, they all are in the front. And the whole village, can you imagine the whole village moving together to a safe place? And the first verse number 36, it says, then when Krishna and Balaram were moving and they stopped at one place, they saw the Jamuna, they saw Giriraj, and they saw Vrindavan. And they were very, very happy seeing that. That is a verse which we couldn't read that verse, so we will just mention it. Chapter 11. In this way they entered Vrindavan. Sorry, verse 36. Yeah. Oh, King Parikshit, when Ram and Krishna saw Vrindavan, Govardhan, and the bank of river Jamuna, they both enjoyed great pleasure. So this was the time where Krishna and Balaram, they saw this three very special personalities. And they became very pleasure. So this is an interesting verse. Our acharyas have given us a very, very interesting understanding. Because practically, if you see amongst all the sects of devotees of Krishna, most of them are saying, "Oh, I want to see Krishna. Oh, I saw Krishna the other day." And the whole purpose of everything that they do is that, "Oh, I want to see Krishna. I want to be with Krishna." But what is the speciality of Gaudiya Sampradaya? The special significance, the special gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? The special significance is Vipralamba Seva. Service in separation.
And that's what Prabhupada says again and again. You never see our Goswami saying, oh, I saw Krishna. This is where this Goswami's are manjaris from the spiritual world. But then they never say that, oh, we saw Krishna yesterday. He was grazing his cows, or he was playing Rasa Leela. But what are they saying? Hey Radhe, Braja Devi, Kecha Lalita, Hey Nanda Shuna Kutho, Shri Govardhana Kalpapada Bakale Kalindi Vana Kutho. I said, oh Krishna, where are you? Are you at Radhakund? Are you at Govardhan? Where are you? They're always wanting to know where is Krishna, because they always are in separation from Krishna. So our Acharya Bhaktisiddhanta Sarvi Thakur gave us a fantastic understanding. He said, don't try to see Krishna, but try to serve him in such a way that he wants to see you. What a wonderful, lofty understanding is this. That we are not here to see Krishna. That's why Prabhupada so very clearly mentioned that our society is International Society for Krishna Consciousness. What is our consciousness is important when we serve Krishna. And our consciousness should be such that Krishna is attracted to see his devotees. Just like in an office. If somebody is doing great, you know, if the reports come, that, oh, this man is generating fantastic business. Then usually what happens? The boss calls the person to his cabin. Oh, you know, congratulations. But somebody is doing extremely good. And the boss is so happy with the result. I said, he's just so happy. He starts walking. He says, I want to meet that person. I don't want to even wait for him to come. I want to go and meet him. Right? Srila Prabhupada was always eager to hear, as we know in the last days, the reports of the book distribution scores of Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, Ghanashyam. That's what is it? Tell me. Prabhupada was keen. It's not that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was keen to tell Prabhupada. Prabhupada was keen. Tell me the score. So what was this mood? That don't try to see Krishna. Don't try to see Guru. But serve Krishna and Guru in such a way that they want to see you. And here is wonderfully shown. Giriraj Govardhan, River Jamuna and Vrindavan. What is it when Krishna, it is said in the words, that Krishna became very, it was a great pleasure Krishna got by seeing them. When do we get pleasure? By seeing somebody. It is not that you see somebody, you get pleasure, but the qualities that person has gives us pleasure or anger, isn't it? By itself, you don't just be happy with seeing a person, because when you see the person, you are seeing the wonderful qualities that he has or the atrocious qualities that he has, which makes you happy or angry seeing him. Oh my God, I saw him. Oh, this is a disgusting person. So you feel not the person per se, but the quality that person has. Isn't it? Right? So when somebody becomes, when Krishna and Balaram found great pleasure in seeing Giriraj, in seeing Jamuna, in seeing Vrindavan, what is it? It was something in these personalities which gave them pleasure. And that is what we want to be a source of pleasure to our Guru, a source of pleasure to Krishna. And what is it that was so special in this, these things? What is so special about Vrindavan? Yes, Vrindavan is a dham, but it is also a person. And what is the speciality of Vrindavan? I was just thinking that Vrindavan has a special quality of giving shelter to everybody. Vrindavan gives shelter and sweetness to everybody. And that is the quality when Krishna saw the holy land of Vrindavan, which gave him great pleasure, because he saw not Vrindavan as Vrindavan, but he saw what are the qualities in Vrindavan which makes him very pleasant. The quality is the quality of giving shelter. And Braj Bhumi, Sri Vrindavan Dham, gives shelter to anybody and everybody who comes. And not only gives shelter, but gives sweetness in the hearts. Anybody who goes to Vrindavan, even a hard-hearted person, his heart is affected. May not be permanently, but for that time at least, oh, this is a very sweet place. Similarly, we have this wonderful, when Krishna saw Govardhan, it is actually a mountain. But why do we, when we see any normal mountain, we don't have the same feelings as we have the feeling seeing Govardhan? When we all see Govardhan, oh Giriraj, and we offer our prostrated Dandavat pranams, because Giriraj is also non-different than Krishna, but is also a devotee of Krishna, right? We know he's called Haridasa Varya. That amongst the Haridas, amongst the servants of the Lord, Uddhav is a servant. So they are all called Haridas. But the gopis said, Giriraj Govardhan is Haridasa Varya. He is the best of the devotees of the Lord. Why is it? So when Krishna sees Giriraj, what is it that gives him pleasure? Because Giriraj's wonderful service attitude. Giriraj is so much in a mood of service. The whole existence of Giriraj is explained by our acharyas, especially Raghunath Das Goswami. He explains the whole existence of Giriraj is to serve Krishna. It's explained that Giriraj creates beautiful grass. And what is the quality of the grass? Sugandha, Sukomala, Pushtivardhana, and Dugdha Shabhaka. Four qualities. I'm sure we have heard this. First is Sugandha. Each and every blade of grass which grows in Govardhan is specifically wanting each and every blade of grass to be so wonderfully fragrant and so wonderfully intoxicating, so that when Krishna comes to Giriraj to play and to have his pastimes on Giriraj Hill, each and every grass is just oriented, the exclusive focus of each and every blade of grass on Giriraj is Sugandha, to give intoxicating fragrance. Now, we have never heard grass being fragrant. I mean, we have never seen, right? You try to smell this. But the grass on Giriraj is Sugandha, intoxicating fragrance. Then Sukomala, another quality of the grass of Giriraj. Sukomala means that it is so soft that it gives unlimited pleasure. When the gopas and Krishna and the gopis, based on the pastime that they are involved in, when they sit or walk on their grass, the grass is exclusively oriented that let me be as soft as possible, so that when they are walking, they get a nice feeling. So Sugandha, Sukomala, Pushtivardhana. And when the grass is, while they are Sukomala and Sugandha, Pushtivardhana, that they are so nutritious. There's so much nutrition in this grass. When the cows eat this grass, there's so much nutrition. When the milk from the grass of Govardhan is eaten by the cows, the milk is the perfect right milk to be offered to Krishna. So Govardhan is saying, this grass should be so Pushtivardhana. Pushti means strength giving. That when the cows eat it and that grass is converted to milk, that milk is very, very strong. That's why it is explained that Krishna was looking a little bigger than his age, because he used to drink such nutritious milk. So Krishna was quite strong because of this grass of Giriraj. And last is Dugdha Shambhaka. It is that it was giving such fantastic milk, that the grass would give such one does in milk. So these four qualities, and then explained that the tears of Giriraj, because Giriraj was always in separation from the Lord, created innumerable waterfalls, rivers, and lakes. I said he wanted to create such an atmosphere that when Krishna comes, he is most well entertained and happy. So like that. So this is in short, we could have a huge, beautiful description of Giriraj Govardhan. But in short, that's why he's called Haridasa Varya. That he's the best of the servant. And then we have Jamuna. When Krishna saw the Jamuna, he became very happy. Because Jamuna has this quality of very compassion. Whoever comes, the theme of your temple is Atithi Deva Bhava, right? Now, you know, what can be a better example of Atithi Deva Bhava than this holy rivers? Whoever comes, the most sinful of sinners or the most purified of pure people, they just welcome these people and they allow them to take bath in their rivers. A classical meditation for all of us to be in following the footsteps of these beautiful rivers, River Ganga, River Jamuna, River Saraswati. They don't discriminate. Atithi Deva Bhava, everybody is a guest. Come and get purified. No discrimination. Jamuna, similar. When Krishna saw these personalities, he was very, very happy.
So that is what we all need to be. To serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna wants to see you, and when Krishna sees you, he becomes great pleasure. That's exactly what happened when Krishna saw the river Jamuna, when he saw Govardhan, when he saw the holy land of Vrindavan. And the next words that we are going to take, that we took today, is, it is said that it was the right time where Krishna had to take care of the cows. So here is a Parikshit, I mean Sukhdev Goswami is going a little fast in this verse. He's just covering a significant time frame, right from a person, Krishna, when he was speaking in broken language. In this verse, he's going forward, and he said that then the time came where Krishna was the right age where he had to take care of the cows. This is very, very interesting. Sri Sri Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai. So it is here the important part written is to take care. So here is a wonderful lesson that we learn, that Krishna had a wonderful time as a childhood. In a child, he was playing around, speaking a broken language. But when it came time, I mean, Krishna had to take responsibility. Krishna says in the Gita, even as God that I am, when I do work, so how can all of you not do work? You're saying, Arjuna, when I do work. So Krishna also does work, and doing work means what? Means to take responsibility. To take care of something means to take responsibility. So Prabhupada writes very clearly in the purport that how Krishna and Balram are teaching by their example the importance of taking responsibility. As devotees, you know, when we come in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, we are simply happily chanting Hare Krishna, eating prasad. As we say, you can eat your way back to Godhead, right? This is the first things that we heard. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So we thought, oh, this is fun, man. This is nice. You just come and chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But as we see, and as we have all gone through the situation, that the time we spend in Krishna consciousness, then we start taking responsibility. We have to take responsibility. We have to do some seva, right? I'm sure all of us will remember the first time we were asked to do some seva, right? Somebody came and somebody saw that he's been coming for quite some time now, so he's ready for seva, right? In the beginning, nobody gives seva. You just come and enjoy, sit, pray, dance, eat. But then we all know, right? First time the seva came, my dear Prabhu, you know, would you be happy sweeping the floor? Would you be happy cleaning the vessels? Would you be happy assisting to carry these books for me? Would you be happy, you know, setting up this thing for us? And the service came. And by the service came mercy. Adau shaddha tata sadhu sango da bhajana kriya. What a beautiful order is there. Adau shaddha, because we have some shaddha, we come to temple. Adau shraddha tata sadhu sangu. And because we came to temple, we associate with sadhus. We associate with devotees of the Lord. And then Rupa Goswami says, from that shraddha, from the sadhu sangha, comes bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya means seva, sadhana, chanting Hare Krishna. One round, we start chanting. And seva. Bhajana kriya means sadhana, seva, and sangha. We associate, we do our sadhana, we do our seva. And as we see, slowly we take more responsibility. If we see, there's one thing that we are all very desirous of as devotees, that we want mercy, right? Everybody, every devotee said, I want the mercy of the Lord, I want the mercy of my guru, I want the mercy of the dham, we want the mercy of the Vaishnavas. We all are looking for mercy. But how does the mercy come? If you analyze it, Srila Prabhupada, for example, is Jagat Guru, is equal to all. His mercy is available to everybody. But when does that special mercy come? We have this phrase, right? I want special mercy, isn't it? Special mercy. When does the special mercy come? When you take responsibility. Srila Prabhupada, the last days of his life, we all know this famous story of Prabhupada having that special key which he had. That key would never be given to anybody. He always kept the key with him. Because that key was the key to a closet, which had another key in their closet, which was the key to some of the most important documents, important things personal things of Srila Prabhupada. So that key would never be given to anybody. But in the last stages, Prabhupada one day called Tamalakrishna Goswami Maharaj and he said, take this key. And Tamalakrishna Maharaj, I personally heard from him in 1996, sitting at his lotus feet on the disturbance of Prabhupada, he was sharing this story with us. He said, when we saw that the key, the Prabhupada has given that key, we felt devastated, because we knew now that Prabhupada has given this key. That means Prabhupada is going to leave us very soon, because that key was never given to anybody. But whom did Prabhupada give the key to? So many disciples were there, but he asked for Tamalakrishna Goswami, here is the key. Why was it that the key was given to Tamalakrishna Maharaj? And for that matter, whether it was Bombay project, why was it given to Giriraj Maharaj? Because Prabhupada's mercy was available to everybody, but somebody who was ready to take more responsibilities, more mercy came. Right? So the more responsibility you take on behalf of Guru and Krishna, the more mercy comes in your life. And that is exactly what is being, you know, taught here by Krishna and Balaram. They had a wonderful time, but now it was time for them to take care of the cows. And as they grew on Gopastami, we all know there's a day where Krishna was given charge of the cows. And he did a lot of hard work. So, as we are making progress in Krishna consciousness, we need to be having the understanding of what is responsibility. And what is responsibility? It's the ability that we need to learn to respond to situations. Responsibility is nothing but two words, response and ability. So our ability to respond to situations, because as we spend time in Krishna consciousness, situations are going to be different. There are different situations that are going to come. And how do we learn to respond to the situations is going to be very, very important for us. So Krishna consciousness is all about taking responsibility. Yare dekhe tare kaho Krishna upadesh. And then comes the responsibility. Amar agya guru hoya tare ye desh. That your duty, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told to everybody, that yare dekhe tare kaho, wherever you go, you instruct about Krishna. And then you instruct and do what? Then you take responsibility. Amar agya guru hoya. Being a guru is a responsibility. Being instructed is a responsibility. Amar agya guru hoya tare ye desh. I was just thinking that we are in London. Why? How did this whole London Yatra begin? Because these three couples, they were just few months old in Krishna consciousness. And many times we feel, Prabhu, I'm not yet ready. I want to spend more time in Krishna consciousness. Then I'll take responsibility. Here is the example. Three couples, just few months old in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada calls them. He said, now you go and you start the mission in the UK. I mean, they said, Prabhupada, we are just young devotees. We are not even, few months or not even a year old devotees. Prabhupada said, no, go. And Prabhupada instructed them. And because they were ready to take the responsibility, they're ready to do something on behalf of Prabhupada, never thinking that they were the doers, but they represented Prabhupada. They got all the mercy from Prabhupada, but they were ready to take the responsibility. Amazing thing manifested. We all know the story. They met George Harrison, and rest is all history here. But why? How did it all start? Because there was somebody who was ready to take the responsibility in Krishna consciousness. So to the extent we want to take responsibility, to the extent we make progress, and how do we really know? I was just briefly just cover. We have time till 8:30. So how do we really know? You know, that what is our, are we responsible? Are we taking responsibility in Krishna consciousness? The first point is, if you really want to know whether you are taking responsibility, the first point is knowing who you want to be. It has to be in a very structured way. You cannot just, I won't take responsibility, but first it has to be planned. To know a successful and a happy life requires planning. A successful life in Krishna consciousness requires planning. And we need to know who we really want to be. Srila Prabhupada, when he met Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1922, and right at that time, it is said, the book
The first book is said, a lifetime of preparation. That means Prabhupada was very clear right in 1922. He came to America in 1965 to 66, 44 years later. But he was right clear in 1922 what he wanted to be. He got the instruction. He said, I want to fulfill that instruction. And the whole life was a preparation. That's why lifetime of preparation. Prabhupada was ready to take the responsibility in his first meeting with his spiritual master. He said, yes, I will do this. And whatever it takes to take the responsibility, I am ready to do that. Of course, at the same time, Prabhupada didn't really preach in the Western world right immediately. He was preparing and he had to take care of his other responsibilities also. But he never forgot the ultimate responsibility that he had to his guru. The instruction that the guru gave to him. So the first thing is knowing who you want to be. What do you want to be? You want to be servant of the Lord? Or you want to be somebody, you know, sort of hodgepodge, little here, little there. I want to be little, a nice devotee, but also I don't want to really give up sense identification. It doesn't work that way. You need to want to know, yes, I want to be a servant of God. I want to please my guru. I want to be a source of pleasure to my guru. And then whatever it takes, you do that. So first thing is to knowing what you want to be and whatever it takes to be what you want to be. And the second most important part of responsibility is blaming others. I mean, not to blame others. Because believe me, my dear friends, it is just so easy when things don't happen. I say, oh, he did that. I knew it. He doesn't know how to do things. But if you just think a little deeper, what exactly you are doing when you are blaming others? Is that when we blame others, we really are doing in stating that we are incapable of rectifying the situation. What we are doing, that we are actually saying that, yes, I'm not able to rectify the situation, that's why we blame this person, we blame that person. Because we don't want to take responsibility. Prabhupada could have blamed everybody. There's a beautiful story Shamsundar Prabhu told us many years back. Shamsundar Prabhu was asked to carve the deity of Lord Jagannath because he was good in carving. So he was carving the deity of Jagannath in his room. And Prabhupada would come every day after his lunch to see the progress of the carving. So one day he came and on the flat part of Lord Jagannath's head, he saw ashtray. And then he saw Shamsundar Prabhu carving and he had a cigarette in his mouth. And because he just wanted to make it easy, so he was just removing the ash on the ashtray, and then he was carving, and Prabhupada was shocked. I mean, can you imagine? Prabhupada could have blamed that, you crazy person, what are you doing? You are carving the Lord, and you're putting the ashtray on his head, and you're smoking while carving? I mean, Prabhupada could have really, I mean, we all know what he could have said. But Prabhupada was behaving like a responsible leader. And there's one statement. Said, why do you want to have this small cigarette between you and Krishna? Not blaming, but just giving him the right understanding. And that was the time he said, I smoke a cigarette for the rest of my life. At least for a good portion of his life. Response. So to blame is very easy. You can just blame everybody. But it's very important to understand that when you are blaming somebody, you are not taking you are showing clearly that I don't have the capacity to rectify the situation. Because the fact is, you know, when you are blaming somebody, we should know that it is not that this person would have deliberately spoiled the work or deliberately done what he did. That's the first understanding. Second, because most of the time devotees don't do deliberately. It's just that they may not know. Second is, most likely you would have told him to do this, and if he didn't do it properly, then the responsibility is not his, it's yours, because you told him to do that or told her to do that. So you have to take the responsibility of that. And even if it is not your responsibility, you are not told it, but still things have been spoiled or things have not happened the right way, blaming will not improve the situation. So we are just trying to understand different aspects of responsibility. First is to understand what you want to be. Second is to understand what it takes to be what you want to be. What is the thing that is required?
Third is not to blame anybody. The fourth and important thing is to have the right character and the right competency. Yes, character is very important in our society. We get the character from our sadhana, we get a character from our association. But many a times, if we want to be responsible, we need to also have the competency to do it. Because if people have to trust us to do with some responsibility, just character would not be enough. Because an example is given that if a woman who is very, very chaste to her husband, has complete faith in her husband, has to go in for a surgical operation, and the husband is not a doctor, then she will still not get the surgical operation done from the husband. She will go to an unknown man who is a doctor and get a surgical operation done. Right? Is she not like, oh, husband, I trust you. You please cut me open. Do my op. No, it would be ridiculous because the husband has the character, but does not have the competency to do what is required. So the lady will go to a competent person, even though she doesn't know much about his character. Right? So, what we're trying to understand is that if we want to be responsible, and responsibility is all about being trusted and being trustworthy, it is all about having the right character, which is very important, which we cannot in any way compromise. But parallel to that is also the competency. Devotees need to gather the competency what is required for their service. We can't be quote-unquote transcendental. Oh, Prabhu, he's transcendental. He doesn't know how to do it. Many times we use this word transcendental in a very, very in an ordinary way. Oh, Prabhu is transcendental. He's not transcendental. He's spaced out. He's not doing the work properly. Why? Because he is not gathered the competency to do the work. So if some service is given, whether it is, say for example, mentoring. So that we need to learn some competency on how to some listening skills. We don't want to become a psychologist or psychiatrist. That's a very high level of counseling. But some basic things are required. So every service needs competency, and we need to have that. And that's what is required to be responsible. And yeah, I forgot the point. And not to blame others. And a path of responsibility is not to sometimes blame yourself. Devotees tend to be, oh, I am so useless, I am so fallen, I can't do things. And devotees tend to get into this poor me syndrome. Yeah, oh, I am so poor, I am so useless, I can't do it. No, Prabhuji, you only do it. Now that's again not if you don't want to blame others, you don't want to blame yourself also. You need to be responsible and take care of the situation. And that is what this verse is teaching us. Whatever it takes to be responsible, because it is in responsibility that you make progress in Krishna consciousness. And whoever we are, whether we are Krishna, whether it is Krishna and Balaram, as the life goes further, we can see they also have to take responsibility. And all of us are here gathered to make progress in Krishna consciousness, to serve Srila Prabhupada, to serve the mission of our society, our ISKCON society. And it is all boils down to how much responsibility we take on behalf of Guru and Krishna will be directly proportional. I mean, our advancement in Krishna consciousness will be directly proportional to how much responsibility we take on behalf of Guru and Krishna. And not to shun responsibility, but to take it more and more. Because the more we do, the more we make progress in Krishna consciousness. And that is what I thought this verse is teaching us. Because Krishna and Balaram also, as we see their life going further, they will take more and more responsibilities. Krishna becomes, takes out the cows, he goes further, he goes to Mathura, he goes to Dwarka, becomes a king. And what is his life all about? More and more responsibility. Marries 8 queens, then marries 16,108 queens. This is responsibility, isn't it? to be a husband. And Krishna has to do all these responsibilities. That's what his life is all about. The broken language part is gone. You can speak softly and that part is gone. Now as we go further, Sukadeva Goswami is going to take us further. And what we will see is Krishna taking more and more responsibility and teaching by his own personal example how we need to take responsibility and the mission of Srila Prabhupada and the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I think it is time, so we will not take questions. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
जगत गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी।